Disaster in Madison. I apologize really quick for everyone who was watching the previous stream. My audio wasn't working, but you know what? Our offense wasn't working today either. So it is what it is. We're here for the therapy session. Locked On Badgers. Let's talk about it. Really appreciate everybody tuning in, and we're going to get right into it on Locked On Badgers.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, everybody? I'm Ryan Herrings, your host of Locked On Badgers, here with your team every single day. Today's show is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline remains your number one source for all of your sports betting news, information, props. It is your go-to spot for all of that. Go to BetOnline, check that out. And again, for everyone listening or trying to listen is a better term on the previous stream, I apologize so much. My stream wasn't working. My mic was broken, like everything else today. I'm onto my third laptop, my second microphone. I have 87 wings in my belly and like 9 IPAs. I'm so frustrated. There were like 40 great comments in the previous chat, and I lost all those. So again, I really apologize to everyone who was there for the original, put their comments in. There were a couple of people I tried to bring on. Jake and Ryan were two of them that were in the queue. I brought them on. I thought they were muted. Turns out I was. So again, I apologize for all that. Please jump back in. It seems to be working now. We got Justin here with us. I think Scott's going to join later. And we're just here to chop it up, man. This is a therapy session. Being a sports fan is hard. Being a Badgers fan is hard. So, Justin, man, how are you?
I'm over the anger at this point. At this point, I'm just like, I don't even know. Like, you get to the point, I was like, I made the comment during the game. It's a comedy of errors. Like, I'm just punch drunk, like, now with all the ridiculousness that was in that game. Man, it was brutal. That was some of the worst coaching, I would say, that I've seen in a while. And this, listen, the offensive line play was terrible today. The penalties were just downright awful. I don't want to say that the run game, like the run blocking, was bad. It's quite frankly, it was the holding penalties. But what was the problem in this game for me was watching us waste so much clock time rather than just being like, hey, we got things that are working. Let's keep working. Like, I'm a strong proponent of, you hear coaches say, like, when something's working, you keep doing it until the other team proves they can stop it. And Wisconsin doesn't work that way. We start clicking in the passing game, and what happens? Then it's like, hey, let's go back to the run. Got to have that. Got to keep working on that. Guess what? Passing game was working awesome today. Mertz, I will eat crow on him for the rest of the year. If this is the guy that he is, then
he was good.
Then he's been very good this year so far. And what I will flat out say is this. They did a disservice to him by, number one, calling a lot of weak pass plays early in the game where it was just super short, 10 yards or less pass plays. Look what happened when we opened it up. We started attacking downfield. We were clearly had better athletes on the edge than they did. And Keontez Lewis, good Lord, that guy seems like he can just get free whenever he wants. Mm-hmm. But I've been a strong anti-proponent of the time of possession offense for a long time, and today is exactly why I have a problem with that mindset. We held the ball for 38 minutes today, and I would say, 29, 30, 31 of that was just wasted, useless time that was inefficient, that just ate clock. And it didn't allow us to separate, and what ended up happening, we got a lead at the half, and effectively just blew the game.
First of all, we're better than Washington State.
Yeah.
Okay. We are better than Washington State. This was another game where we played down to the opponent. And let's be very clear here. There's good stuff to take out of this. But this was a game where, again, much like the BYU game, much like the Illinois game, like, this is a game that Wisconsin needed to win and should have won. Mm-hmm. We're going to get Scott back on the show. And we got Jeremy waiting in the Q2. Jeremy, we're going to get you on here. Scott, what's going on, brother? How are you today?
Yeah. That's about how it is.
Well, let's do this. I want to get Jeremy on the show because he was on the first live stream and my audio was broken. So I want to get him on the show. He's back in the queue. See if I can get him in. My click is not working. Jeremy, I will work on keeping you in, buddy. Let's see if I can get Jake on the show. Jake, you were in the first one too. Jake, what's going on, man? How you feeling?
Hey, man. How are you?
Good. Hey, I think you were on the first live stream. I apologize for my issues, but thank you for jumping back in, man.
No, for sure.
How are you? What is your big takeaway from this game?
I think it came down to basically just wide receivers having to win one-on-one matchups. I mean, you saw WSU the whole game, stacking the box, pretty much daring the Badgers to run, which that's their style. That's what they do. They're going to continue to do that. But it came down to when they take those play-action shots and they take those deep shots, you have to win those one-on-one matchups.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And Washington State won probably more of those than we did. It felt like, Jake, I want to get your take on this. I want to ask Scott and Justin as well. Did it feel like we went away from our one-on-one matchups? Like, I felt like we could have pushed the ball downfield more and we settled into the run game. What do you think?
I agree, but I also feel like that's the identity of Wisconsin football. I mean, but at the end of the day, when you get those one-on-one matchups, you saw it earlier in the game, there was a lot of, like, iffy, you know, could be pass interference, could not be, you know, up to – ref decision. That goes, there were close calls, but I think if you kept doing that, it would force Wazoo to kind of get back there and have to respect that more, and then that'd even open up the run game even more.
There, Scott, or Scott, Justin, either one, go ahead. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I was gonna say there's a version of this game that plays out where we start passing early and attacking downfield, and Wisconsin scores 28 points going into the early third quarter, and we start just running clock, running the football. And that didn't play out because we wasted a quarter and a half running into the back of our offensive line where we could not run the football at all and calling dink and dunk short passes rather than attacking. We saw what happened when we started throwing it down the field. We started moving the football.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And an offensive line that is not playing well right now. And how many times have we seen this over the past few years? It, you know, I talk about like playing inside a phone booth, you know, and like, when will we learn? Because even like knuckleheaded fans out there, just like, dude, little play action, go over the top, like do something else besides run into the back of your old lineman. I mean, it's so infuriating to see this over and over and over. It is the literal definition of insanity what we see play out here. And I agree with you 100%. It should have been, you know, at the very least, like 21-7 at halftime. You know?
Yeah. It Jake, man, thank you so much for the call. I'm just going to – yep, we're getting someone else on as well. Adam, jump on the show here, man. How are you doing? What is your big takeaway from this game? No, I think Adam's on mute. Nope, we lost Adam. Yeah, go ahead. Actually, let's do this. I got to take a quick break, jump to Bet Online, and then we're going to get back into this. We have a ton of reaction stuff to do, 20, 30, 40 comments to get into. We're going to get into all the comments. Blake, Jeremy, I still see you guys in the queue. Jake, we can get you back on as well. So stick with us. We're going to do the entire therapy session. We're going to hash out our feelings, guys. We're going to do it together. On Locked On Badgers. But first, today's show is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs and information. It is not just betting needs. It's sports news, esports, golf, NASCAR. Basically, the entire gambit is available on BetOnline. It's a place you can go to get live in-game betting, futures betting, lost in the darkness of today. Your boy did have a money line bet on Texas that very nearly hit. And that's part of what makes college football so fun, right? With BetOnline, you can get into action. I had Texas plus 1,000. I almost banged out a enormous win. And even though I didn't, just the fun and enjoyment of following along as Texas choked away a game they should have won was equal parts heartbreaking and amazing. So BetOnline is your source to do all of this. Go online, check out the latest odds, wagers, events. Again, live in-game betting, futures, NFL is just in full swing. We had the first game Thursday night, a bunch more games tomorrow, obviously. If you have a good feel for somebody, pennant races are kicking into. Basketball is going to start in a month. Head to BetOnline, get the latest odds, wagers, and props. BetOnline, where the game starts. And again, I want to just thank everyone so much for making this your first stop. One of your first stops is 100% about building community, like being there together, bringing in a bunch of really smart voices. Scott, Justin, obviously among them. We've already had Jeremy on. We're going to have Jake, Ryan, Adam, a couple more people on today. Really, really appreciate everybody tuning in. And we're just going to keep chopping it up on the therapy session, reacting to, no other way to put it, a really bad Washington State loss. Blake, we're going to bring you on in a second. Blake, man, how you doing?
Oh, rough.
So
heartbreaking. Yeah,
let me ask you this, Blake. After the first 2 weeks, are we still going to win the Big Ten West, or are like you done with the season at this point in terms of expectations?
We know the team is good, but they just got to clean things up. It was just a sloppy game all around. There was bright spots, but there were so many just rough spots that they need to clean up. Special teams, penalties, turnovers, so many things that just shouldn't be happening. But the corners looked a little better, I thought at least. Mm-hmm. Jay Shaw had the pick, but then he got rammed and just fumbled that away.
Man, when he was dancing around, I was just like, oh, God, just go down. How many times have we seen a DB do that, you know?
Fumble, that was such a big play, too, right? Like, that was such a big point in that game. Blake, that's
huge,
a great
momentum
point.
Shift, which shifted right back.
And they went right down and scored, right? If Jay Shaw holds on to that ball, do we win the game? I don't know, but probably.
I think so, maybe.
Blake, man, where are you calling from?
New Richmond, Wisconsin.
Nice, dude. Hey, really appreciate it. Great comments, Dan.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Guys, I want to throw some comments up there. I want you guys to react to it. Let's see here. I got a bunch of them. Blah, blah. Badger and Bournemouth, which has done a bunch of shows. Scott, why don't you take this? Outplayed and outcoached. Agree, disagree?
Yeah, that's pretty easy to agree on. Mm-hmm. The play, you know, there were times, like I said, I agreed with Justin where – you know, if a couple plays go differently, but schematically, we just threw like 20 minutes of play time into the trash, you know, on offense at least. And this is becoming like habitual, this whole kind of sleepwalking through the first quarter, seeing if we can just play like Team Ramrod on offense and just smash people. And this is not like the 1998 Badgers. Like, we're not able to go out there and just run people over right now. For whatever reason, we all thought Bostad would be a huge improvement. I don't know if Rudolph just poisoned the well so much that we're that far behind that, like, these guys have no technique developed yet after a few years of being in the it's hard to understand having all that offensive line talent and yet, you know, these are the results, this mediocrity, and even not even at that level at times. I mean, Nelson, I don't know what's happened there. Yeah, but definitely outcoached, which at this point is just, it's not a surprise anymore. You know, so frustrating.
I actually side, I don't, the penalties on the offensive line were a problem. I don't know if the offensive line is necessarily bad. I think that what happens is we get into games like this where we want to put it in a phone booth and then the other team's like, okay, cool. We're going to bring 9 or 10 into the box and we're just going to throw them at you and you're going to have to deal with numbers and you can't block.
Yeah.
What's happening
I agree.
Is Wisconsin should be adjusting to this by spreading it out and just saying, okay, if you want to bring numbers, then what's going to happen is you're going to have all guys off receivers and we'll just throw it. Like they're going to have to.
They're
too stubborn.
That's it. And, you know, maybe I'm overreacting to how, you know, the line is playing. They're not playing at a Wisconsin level, you know, that's for sure.
They need to
but
clean up the
I agree with you 100%. Like look at, even when we've had great offensive lines, great running backs, we play Ohio State, and we're just hell-bent on running the ball regardless. It doesn't matter with Melvin Gordon and 5 future NFL players there, we can't get anything accomplished. You know, so if they know what you're going to do to start every single game where you're going to run the ball the first 8 out of 10 plays, you really hinder yourself. You put yourself, you know, you handcuff yourself, which is, it's so counterintuitive, you know?
Mm-hmm. And let me talk really bit. Sorry, I was just going to say a little bit with his comment about being outcoached. there were moments in the game that I thought our coaching staff, and some of them were small moments, but small moments add up, right? Little things add up in life. And the small moments of needing to burn a timeout in the second half because our play clock was dwindling down. When that happened, I said, I saw Gilchrist running down the sideline. I said, don't call timeout. Honest to goodness, take the five-yard penalty at that point. The timeout's more important. There was a moment in the first half where we had a delay game after a timeout. There was a moment where we didn't get a snap off, in my opinion, quick enough and allowed a review to happen to that Chimray reception. Like, there's a bunch of little things where I'm like, a sharp coaching staff, I shouldn't say sharp, but like a more prepared team. We weren't prepared today. I don't want to make a big projection like the coaching staff isn't smart or they don't prepare, but today we weren't. Like, you could see that. I want to get Adam in on the show here. He's been waiting in the queue for a little while. Adam, jump on the show, man. Let us know, how are you doing? What are your big takeaways here?
Big takeaway is that the offensive line is not physical anymore. You know, even in the past 10, 15 years, you used to put eight guys in the box and still be able to run for 300 yards. This team, it just feels like they want to roll the helmets out there. You know, they're the big uglies from Wisconsin, and they just can't get anything done. Graham Mertz, I think, played really well. I think it comes down to being physical, being disciplined. Like you said, take the 5 yards there on that. Oh, and the two tight ends can't get set. Just run the play. Like, let's go. Quit wasting time. Like, come on. Be more prepared.
Yeah.
There's no sense of urgency. There's never a sense of urgency with our offense. You know, and that's why you get like a sense of almost like sleepwalking at times. And to me, it's straight from the top. When you look at our head coach, like, there's never this sense of urgency.
I even think, you know, I was at the game today and jump around happens. You're down three. Nobody's hopping. Like, get some juice going. Let's go, PC. Like, because soon your days here in Madison are numbered. When you got a guy the NFL is drooling over, waiting behind him. Like, I'm sorry, new AD. He's got to make a move. I think we're seeing his last days, and I think we might see maybe 3 or 4 more games and he's out the door.
Wow. Adam bringing the fire. That's what the therapy session's for.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much, Adam, for jumping on. Let me ask you, let's throw a few more comments up here, guys, because we got a bunch of comments we want to get to. Yannick Mystic, who has done a bunch of shows. Justin, I'm going to kick this one to you. Mertz made good throws, always had no time. I was watching the game. I thought Mertz was pretty good. I'm curious on your take on just Graham Mertz.
I thought he was great today. The only interception was on a play where he got grabbed. And
didn't have
obviously
time.
Obviously didn't come off. Yeah. And for all we know, that guy was open and it would have been on target again. He was on target. Listen, there were drops this game that shouldn't have happened. There were a couple of plays. Man, Marcus Allen really needs to start holding on to the football. Especially with Lewis making big plays. So he's got to start because that guy is definitely a burner and Wisconsin could use that speed on the field. But I thought he played really well. I thought his decision-making was good. It seemed like he was always going to the right guy. The only play that I looked at that I wasn't overly happy with was the DK borderline pick play. And I was like, the second he let go of it, I'm like, oh, no. And I thought it was picked initially. I thought they were rolling around on the ground and DK was tackling him more or less. And then all of a sudden he came up with the ball and I'm like, okay, I'll take it.
Yeah. A little late done.
He really has progressed. And I feel like we didn't give him the opportunity to put this game on his shoulders a little bit more. And it was there.
Absolutely.
Because I feel like he was hitting guys that were open.
Yeah. We went away from it in the second half, the passing game. And there were points where again, this goes back to what Scott was saying. It's like, we're so stubborn with who we want to be that we ignore what we can be. Like, we have more receiver talent now than Washington State has defensive back talent. And Graham Mertz is looking really good. And it's like, we still can't get out of our way. It's like, no. We have to be the running team first. It's who we are. Well, I think we would have won today if we threw more.
Yeah, for sure.
It's frustrating. Let's throw a couple more comments up here, guys. Again, a bunch of comments. Uncultured Barbarian, still one of the best names in the comments section. This was a Paul Chris game. What the heck is up with the O-line? Ohio State is going to obliterate them in the Big Ten opener. Scott, I want to kick this to you because this is one of the big takeaways from this game. Does this kill your optimism for the rest of the year? I mean, we already thought Ohio State's probably a loss, but are we at the point now where we're kind of punting on this team a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, when we talked a couple weeks ago, I always fall into this trap where I come out of the previous season with the clear head and objective, and then I go into the next season, you know, just huffing hopium. And, you know, it's like, it's gonna be different this year. And, you know, and Mertz has been different. And if you would have told me that Graham Mertz was looking as, you know, would be looking as good as he's looking now, you know, a month ago, I'd be like, oh, we're going to win 10, 11 games for sure. But now I just don't know. The funny thing is, you know, going into Ohio State, I mean, okay, so to answer the question, yeah, I'm not feeling very good about the rest of the year right now. When we look at all of our games in conference, like Ohio State, that's an L. And you did a whole episode on that, and you were right. But I feel like every single game as of right now in the Big Ten is kind of a toss-up for us. Like, there's no gimmies right now on our skip. Maybe this changes, but as of right now, optimism basically crushed. We've seen, and I did say too, like, somehow we'll probably win 8 games, but then at the end of the year again, we'll be feeling deflated and like we underachieved. And this is what starts to be the trademark of Paul Christ in Wisconsin, is just kind of underachieving and not living up to your potential, not coming out ready to play games, not looking hyped, you know, knuckleheaded play calling. It looked to me like Paul Christ was calling this game again. Like, what has changed about our offense besides Graham Mertz looking better? I don't know.
It looks the same in a lot of ways. Yeah. It looks the same. Coming up, guys, we're going to keep chopping this up. We got to take a quick break to talk to some of the friends of our show, friends, sponsors of our show. But we got a bunch more comments. We're going to get to them all. Guys, we're going long today. It is what it is. We got to get the therapy session in. I appreciate Scott and Justin, as always. More Badger Talk coming up after this quick break. Okay, guys, thank you so much for listening to Locked On Badgers. Again, really, really do appreciate the support. As we build this community, we're here for you, you know, with the good days and the bad days, as always. So appreciative to Scott and Justin for jumping on. Again, both of those guys, every time I have them on the show, I get comments like, you should have them more. I think I am kind of like the forgotten member of that trio. Kind of like less Ryan, more Scott and Justin. So very appreciative of you guys. We're going to get more comments on here. And again, we have a bunch of them. I hope to get to all of them.
Before you jump to the next one, I want to wake on in on this. Because I actually come away after seeing Mertz these first 2 weeks, and my gut on this is if we take the kind of training wheels off of Bobby a little bit and let him open it up, I feel like there are the tools there where Wisconsin can win every game that's remaining besides Ohio State. But you have to clean up all the penalties, and the defense has to tighten it up. The biggest thing I took away from the defense in this game was their angles have been bad so far. It's a lot of young guys who haven't played a ton of reps and guys getting out of position. And those are things that I think will get better. But Ohio State, yeah, I went from thinking that the defense potentially could keep us in that game to after seeing the defense look like it needs a little bit of rep work at this point to feeling like that's probably going to be a blowout, but it may be a good learning experience for them.
Yeah, I mean, let me jump in on that quick, because I always thought Ohio State was going to be a blowout. But some of that, when you saw that Latu missed tackle right on Nakia Watson, did you have the voice in your head? Because my instant voice in my head was, oh, Hunter Waller would have made that tackle. Like, it's to your point, it's like there's a lot of young dudes playing. And even then, this defense didn't lose this game, right? We just have such otherworldly expectations for our defense. Like, I hear you. They haven't looked as sharp as they should. I hear you. But they also gave up, what, 17 points? I mean, you got to win a game if you give up 17 points.
Yeah, but we don't know what they would have done had they been on the field closer to us. I mean, they weren't on the field a lot. So
no, but they
for the time that they were turnovers on the field, they weren't great. But yes,
they forced 2 turnovers. Again, it's just like, though, to me, this is an offensive issue. It still remains an offensive issue.
Oh, it definitely is. We wasted a ton of clock time, and I've said it from the beginning. If you want to run clock, get ahead.
Let's throw a couple more comments up here quick. T, I'm just going to throw this up here to acknowledge, I think you're making a great point, T. Do you think they should have abandoned the run earlier, let Mertz throw it more? We've already talked about it, but yeah, I mean, I think we all are on board with that. Let's see. Matthew.
After that, they should have adjusted that after the first drive, to be quite honest.
Matthew Pitch, here's the problem. Plotting offense, finishes drives at a low rate, no kick game either. Painful to watch. Justin, that's basically everything you've said for the last year.
The more plays you run, the more chance there is for something bad to happen. So if you're an offense that's scoring in six plays, you don't have to worry about that as much. When you have to score in 12, and this is why I don't like it against teams like Ohio State too, the odds of you having a negative play against a team like Ohio State when you have to go 12 plays to score are astronomically high. And that's what happens when you want to run the ball constantly, because there's going to be a run play that goes for negative three.
Yeah. Your margin for error becomes so much smaller. And then I think it puts pressure on the players to be perfect. Mm-hmm. You know,
where when you get that one penalty, it just
there's just so many more chances. You're done. You fall behind the chains, and which happened time after time today, time after time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's bring this one up. Ionic Mystic, Vito, solid as well. I think you meant solid, but those were two of the worst field. Listen, I'm not here to pile on anybody. I really am not. Like, I couldn't make those kicks. Obviously, a D1 kicker is a really hard spot. He missed a lot of fall camp with injury, but maybe at that point you don't have him in there, right, to try to make.
All signs point to the other kicker, actually. What is it, Van Zelst?
Van Zelst, too. Apparently had a pretty good
fall. Well, he had a good camp, so.
Yeah, he didn't have the big arm or leg, but maybe you have him kick the short field goal then. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It feels like after he missed the first one by 25 yards, like literally, I think that first kick missed by like 25 yards wide right. It was wide right. Maybe at that point you bring Zelst in to get the chip shot, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Somebody, the punter. I
just want to see this offense attack. Like, you have a great running game. Like, if you let the passing game go, the running game, it can open up the run. Like,
yeah, pass to run.
Why can't we run three wide and do that? Like, I feel like there's a lot of opportunity that you're making it simpler for the offensive line too. When you spread it out a little bit, they know where everyone's coming.
Yeah.
You can't hide it anymore at that point.
Well, and I was going to say too, when they, and it worked on one play, but it was just a head scratcher to go five wide and Braylon's out there on the outside. Like,
I don't get that. I don't get that at all.
They just blitzed us because we had no help back there. Braylon is not a threat when he's got a safety or they had a DB on him one time. They're not worried about him going over the top. Like, what is
the
that?
Funny thing,
if you're going to do that, run a wide receiver screen and then just let him get ahead of steam going down.
No, but the funny thing with that is they gave him the first time they motioned him out there, they gave Braylon like a 15-yard cushion, Washington State, and they let him catch like a 10-yard button route. It was the weirdest thing ever. But I agree with you. Like, putting him out there doesn't feel like an effective use of Braylon Allen, right? How about this? Can we get a little more Isaac Grendo, who ran hard and looked really good and is explosive? I don't know. It feels like we're not using our offensive weapons to the best of our ability just by running into nine-man fronts again and again and again. Mm-hmm. Let's bring Mitchell Belak in here, who had a great comment. He's made comments on a lot of shows, and I think he agrees with what, Justin, you were saying. Keontae Lewis looked really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a positive. The receiver depth is there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what we could take away so far from this season is Whitted knows what he's doing recruiting. He's found guys that clearly have a skill that will translate, whether that's Marcus Allen with his strength and size or Skylar Bell with his quickness, or in this case, you know, looking at Keontae Lewis, who's brought in as a transfer, who the guy is just an absolute jet out there and has good eyes himself.
Yeah, and he was snagging those balls. But this is the problem, too. Before the season started, when Ryan and I were talking about what we hope to see with the new Ingram offense, more multidimensional, you know, maybe faking jets, having Garendo and Allen out there at the same time, running some creative motions, that hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. And this offense it's just become stagnant and stale and predictable.
I will say this. Compared to last season, we're seeing a ton of guys that just look like they're wide open in the passing game. And I don't know how much more of that is just Mertz making the right decision every time compared to last year or not. But he's clearly got guys that he could throw to constantly.
Agreed.
And that's
why it's so much more frustrating that we didn't pass the ball more, that we didn't open it up. Because you can see that it's there. But again, you know, we're just hell-bent on fulfilling, you know, our identity as Wisconsin. You know, we run football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting to me, one of the things that's really interesting to me, guys, and I'm curious if you thought this, you know, the amount of deep shots that Mertz took in this game, which drew two pass interference penalties. We obviously hit a couple of them as well. To me, that was a little bit of a sign of evolving offense. Like, I think a lot of what we said is it's more of the same. It looks like Wisconsin. I think we took more deep shots, which to me was exciting.
I think the passing game has evolved quite a bit. I think where it isn't is the mindset of how we should run, the format, which is we get stuck in these just like these ruts where we wanted to keep running the football and trying to force it down their throat. And this was not like undersized teams that have speed. And I actually think that their defensive line was pretty solid for Washington State. It doesn't make sense to keep doing this, especially when they're just, we did this against Minnesota last year too, where they just keep bringing all their linebackers downhill. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, okay, then let's go with the mismatches. We have pretty good tight end receivers. Let's go ahead and work with them. Or wide receivers clearly had an athletic advantage over their corners. So let's attack them.
Stubbornness. It goes back to what all of us have talked about. There's a stubbornness, I think, to evolve from the Wisconsin way. And you have to grow a little bit.
My way of looking at it is, does it really matter how you got there as long as you won the game? Like, who cares? We have a game we passed for 350 yards. And he throws 50 times. Great. If we end up just scorching them because they wanted to stop us from running the football, then so be it. They were giving us the pass all day long.
Right. And great point. And that's what great coaches do. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's pick up more of these questions, guys, because we have a bunch of them and I really want to get to them as much as possible. Kyle H. Time for a coaching change. Starting offensive linemen need to be benched. I want to start with the first one with you guys. Clearly, fans can be frustrated with Paul Chryst for legitimate reasons. Like, you just lost as a 17-point favorite at home to a team that beat Idaho by 7. However, clearly, Paul Chryst is also not on the hot seat. What would it take for him to be on the hot seat? Heavy sigh from Justin.
I think it would legitimately take him going. It'd have to be under 500 this year for that to happen. I just think that we have a very conservative athletic department. That unless things are, it's shown that there's blatantly an issue, he's probably not going to be gone.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, already said on one episode, like, I would have made the change after the Minnesota game last year because I just thought that was unforgivable what happened in that game. But I think realistically, I would agree with Justin. I think it would take us winning 5 or 6 games this year, and there would be such outrage from the fans at that point. It would be hard to ignore it, you know.
The one caveat I would make is that if we end up finishing like last in the West, that might be enough to do it.
Like a disaster season. I think it would take probably two really bad seasons for him to be the hot seat. I think he could do, outside of a scandal, basically anything he wanted to do this year, and he wouldn't be on the hot seat. That's my take on it. Jump to the second part of Kyle's question here. Offensive line.
You have the Bobby Petrino season?
It would have to be that, like getting caught on the motorcycle with somebody you shouldn't get caught on. Going back to the offensive line here. Now, keep in mind, they were missing Riley Mallman. Logan Brown struggled, guys. I don't think there's any question there.
He really struggled in pass sets.
But there is something, and I forget which one of you said this, and I saw it come up in the comments as well, I think from Matthew Pitched. You know, you can't block 9 guys with – you know, that's not all on the offensive line is the point here, right? When they're putting 8, 9 in the box, you know, some of that's play calling. You gotta give your offensive lineman a better chance to succeed, and that's not running right into the teeth of a defense who knows you're running would be my take on that.
Or like I said earlier, spread it out. Mm-hmm. Like, if you spread it out, you're pulling those guys out of the box. You can't afford to put everybody on the line of scrimmage. Can we not run out of a, you know, 4 wide set with the single back? I mean, I think it can be done. Whether or not we like the numbers in that situation, you know, you can argue, but it's really going to keep linebackers from being able to come downhill. And then you put it basically man up on the offensive line.
Well, to your point there, it's occasionally okay. And we saw Washington State do this to us. It's occasionally okay to dictate to the other team what to do, right? Too often we allow teams to dictate to us, right? Mm-hmm. They put nine in the box and we run into it anyway. We see teams dictate to us. We should dictate to them more often. We could put occasionally come out early, play action with three receivers and see what Washington State does. I don't think they could cover us.
Leonard is a prime example of this. He understands that if he is aggressive and he come and brings it to an offense, that they're going to have to react to him. Mm-hmm. And the odds are in college, if you put pressure on a quarterback at the college level, that he will break. And that's kind of what you want to do in the offensive side of the ball. If you put pressure on a defense, where are their weaknesses? In this game, it was creating the passing game. Put pressure on it until it breaks. We instead got, you know, frustratingly locked in on the running when it's like, no, this is where they're set up exactly for that to stop this. It mm-hmm. makes no sense.
JY says, can we talk about the kicking game really quick? I want to expand that to special teams. Scott, how bad were the special teams today?
It felt like watching a Packers game, man. I mean, it would. I'm going to have PTSD for the rest of my life with special teams. I'm just always waiting for something bad to happen. You know, if you can take away even one of those plays, there's a good chance we win. The long kickoff return. Obviously the two missed field goals
right there.
Yeah. I feel solid about our punting. That's the only thing I can say about special teams, man. He's got a leg and that guy's jacked. But yep. You know, beyond that, I mean, it's just as brutal as can be. And it doesn't seem to matter who the coach is. Like, I don't even know what to say anymore. Yeah. It was as bad as it could be unless we were, you know, averaging 28 yards a punt on top of that.
You very easily gave up. You think Herring's sitting there today going,
you think Herring's there sitting there today going, see, it's not my fault.
He probably is, quite frankly. Although maybe he's still behind the scenes puppet coaching that position. We don't know. Yeah. But like the one field goal was, the one field goal was a long attempt. I mean, college kickers are going to miss or make that one, but you have to make the short field goal. And like Scott said, the kickoff return set up another 6 points right there. That's the game. And then you also had you had Dean Ingram and kind of that weird punt return where he thought maybe it touched somebody. We lost 9 yards on that. It's just a bad unit right now. And it's been a bad unit for a while at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
He's shown a real lack of awareness as a punt returner.
Yeah. Let's keep going here.
He really has.
Let's see. I got a bunch more comments. I'm going to probably butcher this name. I'm sorry. Tang Xian. Too many conservative play calls. O-line getting bullied. Too many dumb penalties. I want to talk about penalties here because we've talked about the conservative play calls to death. I feel like we beat that one to death. We've talked about the O-line to death. The penalties, guys, I think we had 11 in this game was the final number. I think at least 5 or 6 of them came, you know, off of 10-yard gains, 15-yard gains, 20-yard gains, where it just negated big plays. And some of them, the block in the back from Rucci, one of the holds from Tippmann, they were plays that were completely unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hey, it goes to coaching, you would think, right? Like, guys not knowing, when to disengage and what situations and not good situational play.
Guys, we're already going about 40 minutes. We're going to wrap this up pretty soon, but I want to shift this back to big picture, and then I want to finish off with a couple more questions. Are you guys out on – like, how does it feel? Like, seriously, are you guys kind of out on the season right now? Not that – I know you're going to be here next weekend watching the game. I know you're invested, but does this just feel like – the train's off the rails? Because here's one of my fan things. Like, I used to be more naive as a fan. I'm 39 now. I've suffered many heartaches. you know, I've lost many big games as my teams have faltered in many sports. And I used to think that you could lose a game in week 2 and then come back in week 3, be a lot better, in week 4, be better. But usually you are who you are when the season starts. And I hate to say that, but I don't know, guys. This one hits me pretty hard in terms of where we might go this year.
Justin, I'll let you go first.
Sure. I look at it like this. I didn't anticipate them going to the playoff this year anyways. So to me, it was, all right, we're going to probably have 2 losses. Well, you got one of them. So now it's a matter of, and we know Ohio State's the other. So now you got to be perfect. I would like to see them find a way to make it in do it backdoor to a New Year's Six game, which I think is going to be attainable because there's been a lot of upheaval already early in the season here. It could have got a lot crazier had Bama actually blew that game to Texas and really opened up the playoff this year. But I think that this is the year we're looking at it where there's going to be a couple of teams in a New Year's game that have three losses. So it wouldn't shock me to see that.
It was obviously a big gut punch today. It reminded me a lot of that BYU game, except I think that BYU team was probably better than this Wazoo team.
Yeah.
It's just really, it's deflating. And if this was the first or maybe second time that this had happened, mm-hmm. I would feel differently, but it's just
start history. To feel like an inevitability. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just so frustrating because, you know, I love Chris so much as a guy, and I want like coach dad, like I want to be the team that's got that goofy Gomer coach that everybody hates because they're so good.
Yeah.
You know, they're so good. And he's so full of cliches and platitudes and, you know, bumbling around and pressers. But man, they win, you know, 11 games every single right. season. And I thought it was going to be that way after that 13-1 season. Mm-hmm. I really did. And it hasn't materialized. And we've never looked the same. I mean, and you take Jonathan Taylor out, we probably would have won six or seven less games with about any other running back for those three seasons. At least six or seven less games.
If we have an average running back in our system, this team we're gets done. Real mediocre real quick.
Hey, yeah, by the way, I'm really interested in you guys' take on this. What do you think of Braylon Allen through two games this year?
I thought if the stupid penalty.
No, I think we lost Justin for a second. Scott.
Yeah.
Happened. He looked pretty darn happy.
Oh, there he's back. Right. We lost him for a second, Justin.
I thought that if the stupid penalties wouldn't have happened, he probably would have had 130 yards today.
And did he look good, though? It feels like he's dancing more than he did last year. He's not as decisive.
I think he's dancing because the holes just aren't there. I think that the other team was slanting really hard, and he kind of got caught having to search for a place to go. Is what happened. It was a lot like we watched Jonathan Taylor against Illinois in 2019, where we were like, what the heck's going on? Like, they played that defense. That's exactly what happened in today's game.
Okay, no, that's fair. So you have no worries there. You're good with Braylon Allen.
Yeah. Okay. I think he'll be fine. I think he's still going to end.
Man, Justin's in and out. Scott, where are you at with the running game, the three running backs you saw?
17, 1,800 yards probably by the time I'm done.
Oh, okay. I'm kind of – I can see what Justin is saying, and at the same time, he doesn't look as quick as I thought he would look by losing a few pounds, which apparently he has. There is some dancing around. I do agree with Justin that a lot of that could be, you know, because there's just the holes aren't there and we're so predictable and everybody knows what's coming. He looked, you know, he did have, what, at least two, like 10, 15-yard runs taken away, but he hasn't looked as quick. And I even noticed it last week on that great 96-yard run where it was like, man, he didn't have like that next gear. I was surprised at how close, you know, it got there at the end zone. And maybe it's just because we've been so spoiled with JT and Melvin Gordon. And he's still a great back. When Malusi went in, Malusi just looked quicker than Braylon. Mm-hmm. He did.
Mm-hmm.
So
he hits the hole pretty hard.
Yeah. I'm not as enthused as I thought I was going to be, but I'm not thinking like a bust. But he hasn't looked as good as I had hoped he would look.
I think that's a fair take. A couple more quick comments. We're going to wrap it up, guys. Again, I appreciate everybody's tuning in. It's already been almost an hour. But these therapy sessions take time. And this is cheaper than any therapy you're going to get. Scott Skogard, my Gophers killed Western Illinois 62-10. Yeah, but your coach is still a dork. Moving on from that one.
Congrats for having the weakest out-of-conference schedule in the Big Ten.
Yeah, we're not
every single year.
any more time on that, screw off. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. But,
Yeah.
Hugh Scallon, what WTF? Yeah, I mean, I think it's where we're all at, right? Like, Hugh's wrapping this up in like three letters. Like, what the? I think we're all there, man. Jordan Tominga, they haven't had a really good consistent kicker since Rafael Gaglione. Agreed. And I think on that, guys, there's some more comments. We're not going to be able to get to every one of them, but I really, really do appreciate everybody tuning in to the therapy session. Scott's busy there with a future Badger fan, I'm sure.
Yeah. He was on the chat out earlier.
Not a future Gophers fan.
No.
But with that, everybody, really do appreciate it. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we're going to talk a bunch more on this game. We're going to talk again tomorrow. We're going to keep the content coming. This is, as always, just a therapy session, just getting the comments out, hearing what the fans have to say, getting the takes from Scott and Justin as much as we can. You guys got any last words on this? Any words of optimism going forward for Badger faithful?
Well,
I think Justin said it earlier when he said, listen, if we play this out right and we – look at what's in front of us and our strengths, and we play to those strengths and we execute, we could still win 10 games. I personally just don't know if that's in us, if it's in our coach to do that, but I certainly hope so.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Lean on your quarterback. If he's going to play like this every game, then let him rip.
How wild is that, by the way? We're 2 weeks in and Justin says, lean on Mertz.
I
hear you. I agree.
I was negative on him because he hadn't given me a reason to be positive on him. And I wanted to see him do this. And so far, it is night and day so far, what I've seen from him in terms of his decision-making, his accuracy has been incredible compared to what it was last year. And if this is the guy he's going to be, then I don't understand what difference does it make how we get down the field? And what difference does it make how many plays? Like, if we're up 14 points, who cares? Then you can run the football. But let's get a lead first and then worry about chewing clock.
Yeah,
coach to your strengths. Coach to your strengths, you know. Mm-hmm. See what's in front of you. See, you know, play to the strengths of your players. That's what every great coach does. You don't force a system down their throats, some hell or high water.
Mm-hmm.
Very well said, guys. All right, gentlemen. Really appreciate it as always. On Wisconsin, we're going to keep coming to you with all the content, win or lose. That's it. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Later, guys.